first people I met in ministry. He was the treasurer of the congregation I first served, Glory Day Lutheran Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Don and I became wonderful friends, he and his wife Shirley. Don was a strong man, salt of the earth. He had served as a Marine for many years and subsequently became someone who worked in air conditioning. He also had an electrician's degree, someone who could fix just about anything and do just about anything. One of the things that was really extra special about Don, though, in my life is that he was a wonderful softball pitcher. And to be a softball pitcher in slow pitch softball for over 50 years, he was still pitching on our church team in his 70s, for over 50 years. Because if you've ever played slow pitch softball without a mask, they hit the ball right at the middle. And he would get hit. It was fortunate that he was a Marine, because he was tough. And he was strong, and he did not let anything down. And he was just a dear friend who I got to know so well in my time there. Well, one of my first days as pastor, he came to see me as church treasurer, and we started talking, and he said, "Pastor, I want to give you a little advice in your preaching." I said, "Sure, what do you have for me, Don?" He said, "Stay away from sex and money, and you'll be fine." And you know, you can actually stay away from that pretty much. The problem is when you have lessons like you have today that talk about money. And it reminds me that as much as I love my friend Don, at occasion a pastor has to talk about those taboo subjects. Indeed, Jesus talked about it often. Jesus is throughout the scriptures talking about it. In the Old Testament, the prophets talk about wealth. We have this throughout scripture. So it seems that this is a common thread in the life of human beings from the beginning of time to now, that our relationship to money, our relationship to wealth, our relationship to all of those things can indeed impede our life of faith. We have an interesting story today. We have a story where this gentleman, this rich young ruler, we are told, comes up to Jesus. And if only all of us had the same kind of desire for a deep and abiding faith as this young man did. Because he comes to Jesus and he asks him, "What must I do? What must I do to be more fully a part of your kingdom, Lord?" And what he does is Jesus responds, "Well, you know what the commandments say." And this is a man who had tried to follow those. Much like you, in your lives, you try to also follow the life that God calls you to live. And so this man is seeking to go even beyond that. And then we are told this. "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." And when the man heard this, he was shocked. And he went away grieving. And then the disciples, witnessing this and having this conversation with Jesus, asked the question then, "Well, my goodness, Jesus, then who can be saved?" Our lives, faith, are inextricably bound up with our lives with resources. One of the best and most difficult things I've ever been challenged to do was by a pastor of mine, a friend of mine in Cincinnati, Pastor Kinsley. And he said to me, he said, "You know, Dave, think about this when you're thinking about your resources that you have in your life. When you come to die, will people be able to look at your checkbook and tell that you're a Christian?" Indeed, all of us, all of you have in your lives been incredibly generous. And if people looked at your checkbook, they would see the ways in which you support ministries and support other people and do things to help people. Absolutely. I know in my life, there are times that I am incredibly generous. Even to the point where I'm sacrificing for my own family, we say, well, we don't have enough. I wish we had enough for this, but you know what? We really need the support here. And I'm so proud that at moments I'm able to be that generous. But let me tell you, friends, there are also times when I'm as stingy as Scrooge. There are times when, you know what? The only thing that's going to get me through a difficult time is a little bit of retail therapy. Or I will go to the mall and say, I know I don't need this, but dadgummit, I'll feel better if I buy it. And I'll do it. See, the reality is all of us have this kind of love-hate relationship with generosity and with the resources that are part of our life. And I dare say that as we hear this lesson today, it would be so easy, and I have done this, so easy for all of us preachers and for all of us who are Christians to hear this message and to figure out a way to massage it, to figure out a way to manage this text. And just say, well, he was talking specifically to that guy. He wasn't talking to all of us. Or to say, well, he was talking to the really rich people. And I'm rich, but I'm not really rich. Or he's talking to a different time, and they don't have an idea of the way we do about saving for retirement and our 401ks and the things we do to save for our kids to go to college. Clearly, Jesus wasn't aware of that, so that really doesn't pertain to us. And I've always used this text. I've tried to manage this text in that way. But perhaps that wasn't right. Maybe what Jesus said he meant. Maybe he's saying to him and to us, you need to give it all away. He then goes on to talk about family in a similar way, doesn't he? He says, if you leave your family and your kids and your spouse and all those and come and follow me, then you will be rewarded. He says the same thing. Give away all of your money and you will be rewarded in a way that is unbelievable. And as I hear that, all I want to do is massage that text, because I don't want to do either of those things. In fact, I know I won't. In the first service, Noah and Michael were fighting in the front row, and I called them out on it. But even though they were fighting and embarrassing their dad, the pastor, in the middle of church, I don't want to leave those boys because I love them. I dare say you look at your family, you don't want to leave them. I dare say you're probably not going to go home today and call me back tomorrow and say, Pastor, we've moved out. We're homeless. We've given away everything. We've emptied all of our bank accounts, and we've given it all to the poor. If you do, you can preach next week. I know that's not really a temptation. The point I'm trying to make is, as he hears that, if he's thinking, that's what I need to do, this is the kind of commitment that I have to make to inherit eternal life. I give up everything that I own, and I give and turn my back on my family and give myself fully and completely to the ministry of the Lord. That's what it takes to inherit eternal life. No wonder he turned around, shocked, and grieve, because as they said, the disciples, who then can be saved? I can't. But Jesus then goes on to say something else. Jesus looked at them. Once they asked who can be saved, and he looked at them and he said, for mortals, For you people, for you Dave Young, for you the people of Bethel, it is impossible. For God, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. This commitment that God asks for is unique because it's an ask for commitment that I kind of think God knows we can't live up to. Notice what he says, and I learned this from one of the commentators that I read in preparation for today. Her name is Sarah Henlicky Wilson, and she has some connections here to Virginia. As a matter of fact, her parents live in Roanoke and teach down there. But she said this, and I never heard this before, but she said this in regards to this rich young ruler. And if you see this in the text, it says this. He said to him, Jesus looking at him, this is after the man had said in verse 20, Teacher, I have kept all these commandments since my youth. And then it says this, Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said, You lack one thing. Give your money to the poor and follow me. What she pointed out is that in the Gospel of Mark, this is the only time Jesus says that he loves someone else. In the Gospel of Mark. It's almost as if the man is trying hard to make his way into heaven, to get the approval that he needs. What do I need to do, Jesus? What's the 3-point plan for heaven? What do I need to do? What do I need to do, Jesus? And he goes, Well, are you following the commandments? Yeah, I'm following the commandments. What do I need to do? And then he looks at him and loved him. He said, Oh, buddy, you know what you got to do? You got to give it all up. And I know how impossible that is. And so what God does, as God is wont to do throughout Scripture, God decides to give it up, all up, for us, for you, to do the impossible, so that we might live in relationship to God. And in response to that great gift, live in love towards one another. To be generous with our wealth. To be seeking ways that will be more equitable in our living. I just saw a statistic that said 85% of the world's wealth, 85% of the world's wealth is owned by less than 9% of the people of the world. 70% of us on this earth account for 3% of the wealth. In America, the top 10% of the earners in the United States make almost 10% more than the lower 90. Maybe, as the people who are thankful for the impossible way that God has come near to us, maybe our call as the people of God is to maybe to change that a little bit. And those systems that are out there that allow for that to take place. For I would believe that the God who says the first shall be last and the last shall be first might in his mind want a little more equitable behavior in our life. God has come near to do the impossible. Save you and me. And now what he calls is the impossible from us. But what can be possible through our faith to help to change this world to look a little more like the equitable kingdom of God. Where the first and the last switch places. And where people are not defined by how much they make, but are loved no matter how they look. That is who God is calling us to be. That is where God is calling us to live. That is the impossible work that God is working in us today and everything. In Jesus' name.